Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to crack open these incredible ancient sources and really see how their wisdom connects directly to your life today.
Great to be diving in again.
And today we're tackling Psalm 9. It's a really profound piece attributed to David.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Our mission, as always, isn't just, you know, a history lesson. We want to pull out those powerful insights, things about God's justice, his support for the oppressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see how those truths can genuinely empower you, strengthen your faith, maybe even encourage obedience in your everyday world.
Right. So the plan is, first, get a handle on Psalm 9 itself, what it's really saying. Then we'll pull out that timeless wisdom. And finally, the really key part.
The practical stuff.
Exactly. How does it apply? What can you do with this information right now?
Okay, perfect. Let's unpack it then. Psalm 9.
Mm-hmm.
At its heart, what's the core message? What's David really getting at?
Well, fundamentally, it's this amazing interplay. You've got intense, wholehearted praise for God's righteous judgment. And right alongside that, this deeply personal, heartfelt cry for help when facing oppression.
So it's both things at once.
Very much so. It acknowledges God as the defender of the poor, the afflicted,
yeah.
You know. But it also stresses that the power of the wicked, it's
yeah.
temporary.
Ah.
David holds both that adoration and that real anguish together.
And he really starts strong, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Verse 1, verse 2. It's just this explosion of praise.
Run out of the gate.
He says, he'll praise God with his whole heart, show forth all his marvelous works, rejoice in the Most High. It's total commitment from the first word.
It really sets the tone.
And then from that praise, he quickly pivots to remembering God's victories.
Right. Mm-hmm. He recalls how God turned back his enemies, how they perished before him.
He talks about God maintaining his right, his cause, judging righteously, rebuking the heathen, destroying the wicked. It's quite forceful.
It is. He's recounting God's track record of justice.
Then verses 7 to 10 shift a bit, focusing on God's enduring reign.
Exactly. The Lord endures forever, preparing his throne for judgment. He judges the world in righteousness.
And he's a refuge.
A refuge, yes. For the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And that key line, those who know God's name will trust him because he hasn't forsaken those who seek him.
That's powerful. Then there's a call for everyone else to join in, right? Verses 11 to 14.
Yeah, sing praises to the Lord, declare his doings among the people, and highlighting why. Because when God investigates, when he makes inquisition for blood, he remembers them.
He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. That line just jumps out.
It's central. And David then pleads for mercy himself so he can show forth God's praise for salvation.
And finally, that stark contrast.
Uh-huh.
The fate of the wicked versus the hope of the righteous. Verses 15 to 20.
Right. The wicked fall into their own traps, snared by their own hands. God is known by the judgment he executes.
A turning into hell, it says. But.
But.
Yeah.
The needy, the poor, they won't always be forgotten. Their expectation, their hope, it won't perish forever.
And it ends with that call for God to arise, judge the nations, put them in fear so they remember they're just human.
It's quite a journey through the psalm. But what's really fascinating, I think, is how it lays down these foundational truths about who God is.
How so?
Well, he's portrayed as both this mighty sovereign judge
mm-hmm.
and this incredibly compassionate deliverer close to the suffering. It's not just about power. It's about righteous power coupled with deep mercy.
That balance really is crucial, isn't it? It's not just distant judgment.
Not at all. It's justice interwoven with compassion.
And that's where we start to see the timeless wisdom shining through, even thousands of years later.
Yeah.
So let's dig into that. What are those ancient truths that still hit home today?
Okay. So the first big one I see is this. God's justice is unshakable. It operates on a different timeline maybe than ours.
Right. We want it now.
Exactly. But Psalm 9 reminds us, even when human systems fail, when the arrogant seem to win, God's justice isn't just coming. It's a fundamental reality. It's inevitable. He defends the righteous and humbles the proud. It's a spiritual law.
Okay. Unshakable justice. What else?
Second, and this is so comforting, the oppressed are seen and heard. You know, back then, rulers often just ignored the poor.
Sure. Power dynamics.
But Psalm 9 shouts the opposite. God is close to the suffering. He doesn't forget them. That line again, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. It's revolutionary. It means your pain, your struggle, it's registered. It matters.
Seen and remembered. That's important.
Deeply important.
Yeah.
Then there's the power of praise in trouble. David isn't just praising after the battle's won.
No, he's right in the thick of it.
Right. And that shows us that gratitude, Praising God isn't just a reaction to good stuff happening. It's an act of trust while things are hard.
Like a spiritual discipline.
Exactly. It's a defiant act of hope, choosing to trust even when circumstances scream otherwise. It can actually shift your perspective before the situation changes.
Okay, that's powerful. And the last one.
This principle, evil is self-destructive. Remember, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made.
Yeah. Caught in their own trap.
It's like there's a built-in consequence.
Right.
Evil actions tend to recoil on the people who do them. It's not random. It suggests wickedness carries the seeds of its own collapse. It's inherently unstable.
Wow. These are really profound truths. Unshakable justice, being seen, praise is trust, evil collapsing on itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how these ancient insights just resonate so clearly today. No matter what you're facing, they give you a different lens to see the world through.
Absolutely. They transcend time.
So, okay. If these are the timeless truths, what does this mean for us? Like right now, how do these ideas encourage obedience, strengthen our faith today?
Great question. This is where it gets really practical. First off, when systems fail, God doesn't.
Okay. Explain that.
Think about it. We see justice systems, governments, institutions. Sometimes they let people down, right? They fail the vulnerable.
Sadly, yes.
Right.
All too often.
Psalm 9 steps in and says, okay, but God, he is a refuge for the oppressed, an unshakable one. So if you're feeling let down by human structures, maybe you're an activist, a victim, just someone caring for others, this psalm offers real spiritual strength. It encourages you to rely on God when earthly support crumbles. It anchors your faith.
Finding stability in God when other things shake.
Precisely. Second, and this one's very personal, your pain is not forgotten, ever felt overlooked, unheard, like your struggles don't matter.
I think everyone feels that sometimes.
Well, Psalm 9 directly counters that. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God keeps track. Knowing this can be incredibly healing. It validates your suffering and strengthens your personal faith because it tells you you are seen, you are known, your experience matters deeply to God. That encourages you to keep faith, keep going.
That's huge. Okay, what's next?
Third, don't envy the wicked. It's easy to look around, see arrogant people seeming to prosper, people cutting corners, getting ahead.
Yeah, it can be discouraging. Makes you wonder if doing the right thing pays off.
Right. But Psalm 9 gives perspective. Their power is temporary. It looks successful now, but it's short-lived. God's justice might seem slow to us, but it is certain.
So trust the process.
Trust God's timing. This encourages patient obedience, sticking to your values, even when it looks like others are winning by cheating the system. Trust that God's way is ultimately the right and secure way.
Patience and trust. Got it. Number four.
Praise is a spiritual weapon. This is so practical. If you're struggling mentally, spiritually, just facing daily frustrations, choosing to praise God, especially when it feels hard.
When it's the last thing you feel like doing.
Exactly, then. It can radically shift your perspective. It's not denying the pain. It's choosing defiant hope. It's an active form of worship that strengthens your faith by reminding you who God is, his power, his promises, even when your circumstances haven't changed yet. That act of worship is obedience.
Aligning your heart with truth, even when feelings lag behind.
You got it. And finally, number five, use your voice for the voiceless. Look at David. He didn't keep his faith quiet.
No, he sang publicly. Proclaim truth.
He called others to remember God. In our world, what does that look like? Maybe it's speaking out online against injustice. Maybe it's mentoring someone. Maybe it's just standing up for what's right when it's unpopular, even in small ways.
So faith in action.
Faith in action. It encourages active obedience to God's call for justice and compassion. Right where you are, you become part of his work in the world.
Wow. Those are incredibly tangible, not just abstract ideas, but real ways to live differently. When systems fail, no, God doesn't. Your pain isn't forgotten.
Yeah.
Don't envy the wicked's temporary success. Use praise as a weapon. Use your voice.
Yeah, they really ground the psalm in our daily lives.
It provides such a solid foundation, especially when the world feels chaotic or unfair.
And it really raises that question, doesn't it? Knowing God is both this just judge and compassionate deliverer.
Yeah.
How do we respond?
How do we live when we see injustice all around us? Do we just watch?
Or do we engage, knowing what we know about God's character from psalms like this?
So just to recap our deep dive into Psalm 9, we've explored God's unwavering justice, the incredible comfort that he remembers the humble, and that transformative power of praise, even when things are tough.
It really drives home that God isn't just some distant ruler on a throne. He stands with those who suffer. Psalm 9 is a call to remember that. and to live like his justice still matters right here, right now in this broken world.
Absolutely. So here's the question for you to think about this week. Knowing that God remembers the cry of the humble and stands with the suffering, how might this deep dive encourage you to perhaps pray differently, or praise more intentionally, or maybe even act differently when you encounter injustice?